Welcome to Grace Unfolding. I'm Jonathan Buckley here with my co-host Troy Albee, and we are on episode number 15. It is a hello and goodbye conversation. Troy, what are we talking about today?
Well, today, welcome back, by the way. We took quite a break, maybe like a year. We've literally had to dust off the microphone. Quite literally, there is dust on our podcast microphone. And I apologize. Part of that's due to distractions. Part of it was due to a sabbatical that our church graciously gave me over the summer. But we knew that we needed to get back in gear. And we look forward to perhaps in the new year having some more conversations. John, what kind of things might we do? And maybe that's people, you know, chiming in.
That's what I was going to say. We have a couple testimonies that we're looking to bring people on from church. That'll be good. Other than that, we have some, we should covet you guys' suggestions as far as topics. It could be theological, practical,
cultural,
provocative.
Yeah. We can address them. We may review a couple of books or cover announcements are going on in the life of the church, but, today, what are we covering, John? Who's our target? Our
we
victim,
have a,
our,
a professional pickleball player from our church. no, we have Luke Springer here with us today. He's been going to our church since I think last February, and he is
one of our members.
Well, yes, he is one of our members, and he is introducing himself to the podcast today, but many of you guys know him well, and he is sadly also leaving us soon. So we wanted to do a little hello to the podcast listeners and a goodbye to Luke. So that's kind of we'll just kind of get to know Luke and hear his story, hear his testimony, and I think that's kind of what we have planned for today.
Yeah, Luke, you want to kick us off maybe just giving us a little bit of background, you know, because some folks know, some folks don't know that you're from the West Coast, so fire away, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. So, my name is Luke. I grew up, born and raised in Bellingham, Washington, which is about 20 miles south of the Canadian border and about the furthest west you can get without being on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington. Grew up there all my life.
Does it rain there?
It does, yeah, a lot. It's pretty dark and gloomy in the winter. Pretty dark and gloomy in the late fall and the early spring.
Summer's
really nice, yeah. Summer's like 75 all summer and it doesn't rain, and nobody knows that. So
tell us a little bit about your family, some of your interests.
For sure, yeah. So I grew up, you know, just my mom in the house. Parents got divorced when I was young. I had two older brothers, and quite a bit older than me. So by the time I was in high school, they were both moved out.
Cool fast fact. Little fast fact here. Tell us the names of your siblings.
Yeah, so my oldest brother is Matthew, and my other brother is Mark.
Ah,
and I'm Luke. There
so we go.
You've probably heard of those three before.
That was, I assume, intentional by your parents or no?
Well, I think it was more like so both my older brothers have one dad, and I've got my own dad. I had my own dad rather, and I think, you know, she had Matthew. Then she had Mark.
Then why not keep going?
Exactly, yeah. And I think when I surprised them, they said, yeah, sure, let's go with Luke.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
That's how it worked out.
So what
there.
Were some of your interests, and where did you end up going to school?
So, yeah, I from the time I was 12, wanted to be a music teacher. Mm-hmm. So I went to St. Olaf College because they have an amazing music program, and that's in Northfield, Minnesota, which is like 45 minutes south of Minneapolis. And I went there to be a music teacher full tilt. Mm-hmm. And then after one semester there, I changed my mind, which was quite the experience for me because I had thought I wanted to do that for like 10 years at that point. So I went there, you know, I played the trumpet all through middle and high school, and I got a partial trumpet scholarship to go there, and I made it into the top band ensemble in my first year, which is pretty rare, and so I was really grateful for that. And I loved the ensemble, so when I changed my major from the major, which was the reason why I went there, I decided to stay so that I could continue being in the band and be a part of the music community, and I had friends there, and so, you know, briefly transferring crossed my mind, but I didn't transfer because I wanted to stay in the band at the time.
That was your motivation.
That was my motivation, yeah.
But God had different plans.
He sure did, yeah.
We will find out about that part of your testimony pretty shortly, as far as what God had planned for you by staying there, right?
Yeah, fire away. I mean, by all means. You know, one of the questions that I had, though, is what was your, because, you know, we're talking about the intersection of your life and faith and Christ, and I'm just curious, like, even prior to something that happened, which we know about, and you're going to share about at the tail end of your college experience, tell us a little bit of, like, what was your perspective about, you know, God, Christ, and even your perception of Christians prior to that time in college?
Yeah, so I grew up going to church. We started going at decreasing intervals as I got older, until by the time I was in high school, you know, we were Christmas and Easter people. And the theology of the church, as my family was involved with, is questionable anyway. So, I definitely, you know, well, there was a period in high school where I actually tried out a few different churches because I was like, I should figure this out. But that only lasted a couple months. And then from then on, almost all the way through college, I would have identified myself as an agnostic. That's the word that I learned to describe myself as, because I certainly wasn't an atheist, because I didn't feel like I had the
boldness, the gumption to say exactly, there's nobody there.
Exactly. And I'm an indecisive person, really indecisive person, and agnostic is so easy. Yeah. You can just say, well, I don't know, and I don't know how I can know. So that's the space that I lived in for a long time in terms of what I believed about the nature of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Just agnostic.
What were some of your perceptions and thoughts about Christians?
It's a great question. So definitely, I grew up in the sort of space where when people talked about folks who believe the Bible, you know, people say things like, oh, you know, those Bible thumpers, or they'd say,
that's a compliment.
Yeah. they'd say Bible thumpers, you know, fundamentalists.
These are people that you grew up with.
Or grew up around.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Some of your friends in college would say that.
Yeah. In college and before, I mean, I remember having a few friends growing up who, like, Christian was a bad word to them. Like, they'd be like, oh, well, you know, she's very Christian.
That's it.
And there she'd be talking about Christian someone else. People in Washington?
No, there are. Yeah. There definitely are. And I, you know, looking back on it, thinking about this specific friend I was just talking about, I remember, like, there were, like, a few girls in my middle school that were, like, outspokenly Christian. Mm-hmm. And people would talk about them being like, oh, you know, like, she's really Christian.
Yeah, so, in a derogatory way.
Yeah, definitely a derogatory way. And, you know, that wasn't all of it. And I have no incentive to absolve myself. I'm sure that I thought many of those things. But generally, God has given me the gift throughout my life of being open to different perspectives. And when people would say that about somebody, I would be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I probably think they're wrong, too, but I don't know if I'd say that. And mm-hmm. I've always been interested in hearing what people have to say about things. And, you know, as we'll find out in a few minutes, God used that in my conversion.
Yeah, well, you know, elaborate. I mean, one of the things that I was, even on Sunday during the sermon, just saying, just the unavoidableness, you know, of God, that we sometimes even supernaturally have a curiosity that can linger or it can surface. And I think that's, you know, at times that's God. That's God, like, even prepping us. And and it sounds like even before you were converted, there were already these indicators and such. So
definitely. Yeah.
Or, you know, fingerprints, if you will, that God was pursuing, or he was trying to prepare you. So, yeah.
Well, and especially looking back on it now, I can see the many things that God was using to prime me to come to faith in him, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? Like,
yeah, so I mean, various people I met who were Christians that challenged the popular cultural conception of what a Christian was that I was engaged in, right? And these are people who told me they were Christians and were the most loving people I've ever met, and told me they were Christians and were the most smart and intellectual people I'd ever met. And, you know, growing up and in college, like, there was just a lot of, you know, Christians just believe stuff, and, you know, they convince themselves they believe it, and they hate people, and, you know, all this stuff. So that one of the ways is that I met multiple Christians that I can think of right now that are wonderful people, and God just showed me that's what a real Christian is like, you know. You know, while saying that some of the critiques that society has is about people who profess to be Christians who are hateful, and like that, that can be a real poor thing
representation,
too.
A lack of love,
right?
You know? Yeah,
right. So.
Yeah, we don't want that. You know, we want to have sincerity and humility and not hypocrisy and inconsistency, duplicity.
Definitely.
So tell us about...
And just on that point, and learning that what you just said is the biblical way to live, it changed my way of thinking about Christianity before I was converted. I was, like, learning that that's the biblical way to be humble.
Yeah.
Is like, well, then what's wrong with being a Bible thumper? What's wrong with believing the Bible if it tells you to be humble and to love your neighbor?
Yeah.
You know, because the only reason why all these people think it's... Well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that they think it's wrong to believe the Bible is because they see... Their perception is that these Christians are hateful.
Or that it's going to... If they're really honest, that it might inhibit their freedom.
Right.
Or their joy.
Of course.
Or their lifestyle. Or their priorities, which they like... Having the ability to set the agenda for themselves.
Which is probably a bigger reason.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But there's many.
There are many.
Yeah.
So tell us about what happened that... it was a spring class that you were a part of?
Yeah, so I'll start... let's see, yeah. I'll go there and then I'll talk about some of the... Now, let me back up. So before that class, I was... talking a minute ago about how God was priming me to come to faith in him. And especially now, looking back on it, I can see it so clearly. I mean, at the time, I didn't know. I knew that my perspectives were changing about things, but I didn't know what was happening. So I had a few experiences, like in, you know, this is long before I was a Christian, but in nature, just like a transcendent experience on a backpacking trip. And I remember it so clearly. And I was like, well, there has to be something, you know, like the feeling that I'm feeling right now, it's indescribable by anything else. And this doesn't make sense as an amalgamation of random atoms clashing into each other. It's just like, so that's one thing. And, so I did this program in college that was an off-campus study program in Oregon, and there we read this book by Fyodor Dostoevsky called The Brothers Karamazov, and it's a fantastic book, amazing
not
book.
Not a short read, also known as The Brothers K.
Yeah, and not a short read, and at this program, everybody, it's like a 1,000-page book, everybody reads it in a week, and it's like a total slog, but it's awesome. Every minute of it is awesome. And it's a book that talks about the battle between good and evil, and each character represents something in a different perspective, or etc. And so, anyways, I read this book, and in the midst of that book and reading having conversations, rather, with
similar-age people.
Yeah, with similar-age people at this program. So the book deals with Christianity, and it talks about it. And I read the book, and I liked it. I didn't have any conscious thoughts, oh, well, I'm a Christian, anything like that. None of that. But I just read this book, and I loved it. And because it dealt with these big themes about human nature and the human condition and stuff. So I read this book, and it was an amazing experience. And I started thinking, well, man, like, Russian literature is really cool. And so when I was... registering for my courses a year later for my last semester of college, I saw that there was a environmentalism in Russian literature course, and I said, well, I like the environment, I'm interested in environmentalism, and I read that Brothers Karamazov book that I thought was awesome, so that's a no-brainer, I'm going to take this class. And so I take this class, and lo and behold, the professor is an extremely... Well, that was going to sound funny. I was going to say an extremely outspoken Christian. I didn't mean it like that. A very outspoken Christian.
Sincere.
Yeah, sincere. Exactly. That's a better word. He shares his faith. He was clear about what he believed, while leaving room for other people to talk
about. Was he sharing his faith to you directly or to the class?
To the class.
Really?
In context. And, it wasn't...
Do you remember the context, if you can...
Yeah, well, I remember it sort of in broad terms. So we read a portion of the Brothers Karamazov for this book, and he said to the class, this book helped me realize that I was a Christian. So this book is really important to me because it changed my life.
Wow.
And I was sitting there like, dude, I read this whole book. And I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
So I talked to him after class, and I said, what are you talking about? I love this book too. I'd love to talk to you about this. So we got to talking, and I asked him questions about his faith, and I would stay after class and talk to
him. He's like a visiting lecturer. He's a visiting professor.
Yeah, he was on a 2-year visiting professor contract.
Yeah.
That was his first year.
Yeah, and he's an English or literature professor?
He's a Russian professor.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so he teaches, or he taught Russian language there.
Wow.
And Russian literature, yeah, so.
A young guy, too, right?
What's his name?
Maxwell.
Okay.
Maxwell. Yeah, and so lo and behold, we talk enough times. I mean, I was just drawn to the guy. It was just a humble, sincere, kind guy, and I always like talking to my professors, and I always try to make that connection. And I like, getting into the material more. But I could tell very early on that this was sort of a different thing, actually, connecting this to something I was saying earlier about meeting Christians who display the Christian life in a really beautiful way. So, in the frame of mind that I was in, one of my first thoughts was, well, I got to ask him about all the hot button issues.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Abortion, gay marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I went in, and obviously, like I said earlier, I've always wanted to hear other perspectives. And so, I didn't go in like, dude, like what? But because I could tell that he was like a kind, loving guy. And I was like, I went up to him once, in one of these conversations we'd have after class. And I was like, so what do you think about gay marriage? And what do you think about abortion? And he said, well, I probably think what you think, I think. I mean, for what the Christian view is of those things. And I can't quite say exactly how he said it, but from his answer, it was so obvious that that he had a love for the people he was talking about.
Hmm.
Like, and that just, it blew me away. Like, I was not, because the way that everybody talks about what a Bible-believing person would say about those things is as if they hate the people.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a sterile. It's ethics, yeah, that are sterile. It doesn't,
right,
really include, a depth,
loving,
of love.
A loving, yeah, relationship, yeah, with the people that, yeah.
Totally. Totally. I mean, this is great. This is, yeah, great. Kip, don't let us stop you. Please keep sharing.
Well, and so that's one of the things that, made me start to think, well, this is different. This is different. Like, I haven't really known somebody like this, and the people around me don't seem to know that this exists. Mm-hmm. And he was just a great guy. I mean, I love talking to him about, our shared interests in Russian literature, and obviously, I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge of that, and I had just read a book or two, and so I could ask him questions, and I asked him questions about his faith and about God, and eventually... he said, if you'd like, we could go through one of the Gospels together. We could read separately and come together and talk about it. And we decided to start with Luke.
Gospel Luke?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because it's my name, easy choice. So we did that, and we met and talked about it, and it just sort of continued. I mean, I started reading the Gospel account, and... like, I had been to church quite a bit, like I said earlier, as a kid. I mean, you know, at decreasing intervals, of course, but it just felt like I'd never heard any of it.
Right.
Like, I'd never heard any of it. I was like, I was just, and I'm not trying to say that I understood it, you know, even at the beginning. I, like, many things I didn't get, and many things I still don't get, and many things a lot of us still don't get.
Sure.
But I could feel an opening up of my perspective on it. And like it was like I'd never heard the stories before, and they were carrying a whole new meaning. And so we meet together and talk about it, and he invited me to his church. And my first Sunday at his church was Easter Sunday. I at this point, you know, obviously now I can talk about it and it sounds like, oh, this guy probably came to Christ, you know. I didn't. I mean, I was, you know, thinking about it. I didn't know what to think, but I do remember even at that point, I was like, it looks like it's sort of starting to seem like I'm going to become a Christian. I was like, I don't think it's today, but it's like, I was like, I don't see how this could go any other way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of started on this path, but then every once in a while I'd have a sort of whiplash and be like, what's happening? Like, it's, you know, I've never thought this way before. So anyways, I went there on Easter Sunday, and this is an experience I still carry with me. I left that church service to go to one of my ex-girlfriend's recitals, mm-hmm. like a concert she was putting on, and a bunch of her family was there, and I hadn't seen them in a really long time, right? And I was worried that there was going to be animosity, you know, or just something, or that it would be awkward or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just had this like overwhelming outpouring of love for them.
Mm-hmm.
And like we had broken up and, you know, but like we were still friends and stuff, and I was worried about how awkward it was going to be. And I had this amazing experience where I connected with them and talked to them, and I just didn't let the awkwardness get in the way. And now I connect that to, I connect that to God moving in my life in mm-hmm. Christ, and coming off of the wonderful experience of being in a church of believers, and it's a funny way to put it, but like sort of like I was like riding the high of the church service. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I really was, and I was like, this is there's, like. This is a beautiful way to connect with people. I'm not going to let these things get in the way. Mm-hmm. There were just things going on in my life that were connected to what was happening with reading the Bible and going to church. And it seemed like it was all happening sort of in this connected way that's hard to put into words. But, and then, so I wouldn't have said that I was a Christian until the July after that, really.
I see.
And
when was this?
This was 2023. Yeah. So I graduated in May of that semester, and so I went to church from Easter Sunday to through when I graduated.
Mm.
And then I wouldn't have said that I was a Christian until the middle of that summer when I was reading a John Piper book called Don't Waste Your Life.
Sure.
That Maxwell had given me, and I was living in a Forest Service bunkhouse, and it was on the table. And I was sitting there eating breakfast or something, and one of my housemates walked up and she said, "Oh, what are you reading?" And I was like, "Oh no." and she picked it up. I was like, "Oh, you know, hey, go ahead. You can, you know, read the back or whatever." And she read the back and she said, "Oh, I didn't know you were religious." And I said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian."
Wow.
And that was
the first time it came out of your mouth?
It just came out of my mouth. I mean, I wasn't really even
How did
thinking.
You feel about that?
I went, wow.
Yeah.
I guess I am
did
a Christian.
Did it feel good?
It did feel good.
Yeah.
It did.
Okay.
Because I had sort of been, like I said earlier, I wasn't ready to say it. I wasn't even sure that I was. And that was the moment. Although I think that I was, obviously my heart was softened much before that, but that was the first moment that I professed it to someone else, and that really...
But you were trying to, at some points, I'm sure there's already like this sense that I need to walk out repentance, because the call of the gospel is, you know, in Mark 1, Jesus at the beginning of his public ministry is like, you know, repent and believe the gospel.
Yeah.
So what was coming into focus with regard to repentance?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think... Well, it's worth saying that that's something that that Maxwell emphasized a lot in our conversations. Like,
I see.
Like when I would ask him, he would say, "Well, you know, he would say, like, I hadn't realized the extent of my sin before reading the Bible." It was something, an example of what he was saying to me.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Is that true about me too?"
It can't possibly be true.
I was like, I don't know. I mean, and, you know, he'd say things like, well, you know, like people probably would have said I was a nice guy, but, you know, I didn't. I was like, well, people probably say I'm a nice guy too. And so, yeah, I think there was a slow, honestly, looking back on it, there was like a slow unfolding of the understanding of my own depravity. But I think it took a while. I think it took a while. I think in the beginning, I mean, I was ready to say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner. You know, that's easy to understand and to believe.
To the extent that I'm not perfect or I'm not, you know.
Well, and to the extent that I don't act as I think I ought to.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, I just, there's a gap between what I would like to do and what I do.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and that was clear to me. But Maxwell drew me a diagram once that, you know, as I've, and you know, I've only been a Christian now at this point for like a year and a half, but as I go further, this diagram rings true. So there's like an arrow going up at like a slope of one, because you guys can't see my arms right now, and an arrow going down at the same way, and the top arrow is the your view of God over time goes up through the Christian walk
and his holiness and his perfection, the goodness of his character.
Yep. And the bottom line is an arrow over time that goes down, and that's the view of self.
Yeah.
And then intermittently in the beginning there's a smaller cross spanning the gap between the lines, and as the gap gets bigger, the cross gets bigger, and the cross gets bigger, and the cross gets bigger.
Cool.
It's an amazing visual articulation of the Christian walk, and I remember him drawing it for me. I still have the drawing; it's in my Bible, and I remember being like, "Oh, I wonder what that's going to be like."
So we're a year and a half in. Is the cross bigger? Is your need for Jesus bigger than when you first came?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a long answer to your question of, you know, how did I start to see the need for repentance? And the answer is I see it now more than I ever
had before. Yeah, that's a good description. That's a great description.
Yeah, I think...
How did you end up here?
Would you end up in the lovely Pembroke, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Well, there were some connections with your father's family.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we can move on to that. Is that okay, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is a funny example, or I guess it's funny, an interesting example of how my life, in terms of what I was planning before I was a Christian, connects with my life now, you know, fully in Christ. So. When was that? I think 2 years ago. So in the fall of 2022, which is about 6 months before, Maxwell started to lead me to Christ. I saw an ad for this internship, this historic preservation internship, where you learn carpentry and masonry and you do it on historic structures, here in the Boston area. And I remember at the time thinking, well, so I ended up being a history major. I didn't get to that earlier, but I changed from history to from music to history because it was like the next most interesting thing to me. And so I'm interested in history. I like learning about it. I like being outside. I like working with my hands, and I always wanted to learn carpentry. And so I thought, well, this program sounds like the perfect program at the time. So, but, and you know, I couldn't have done it the next year because I was still in college. So I sort of put a little note in the back of my head, and I said, well, I'll apply for that. I'll apply for that to do it in 2024. Also, out here, my dad's parents and my aunt and uncle live just north of Boston, and he passed away in 2019.
Your dad did.
He did, yeah. And I didn't really grow up knowing my dad's side of the family. There was never any animosity to us. It's just we lived in Washington, and they lived over here, and, you know, my parents had a strained relationship, so it just didn't, I just didn't really get to know them, and so I thought, well, I could do that program. I could go to Boston. I could get to know my dad's side of the family and thereby get to know him a little more, you know, learn, just imagine what it would be like, you know, see how they interact, right? And just, you know, widen my family circle a little bit to,
yeah.
And so I sort of had the plan to come here since 2022. And when the time came around to apply in last summer, I applied for this program and I got in, and so I decided to move here. But I said, well, I'm only going to move there if I can find like cheap enough housing. That's really important because I was, you know, I had taken a personal finance my senior year of college and I had made a budget and I was like, well, I can only do this if I can afford it, right? So, and I had seen on my budget that it would need to be a specific number. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I can reach out to a church and try to find some sort of church
connection.
Community. Yeah, connection. And I could, one, find a good church to be a part of and also find housing, maybe. And so I went on, like, a church search website that I had been shown by a friend from a church back in Minnesota. And I reached out to a few that were around the area of the shop for the internship, and I almost got a connection, but then at the last second, I ended up finding housing somewhere else, which was far away from any of those churches. So I emailed one of them that had gotten back to me, and I said, where should I go to church? And he said, you should go to Grace Presbyterian on the South Shore. He said, I think he specifically said, I know Troy. He's a great pastor.
Yeah.
He did say that. And he said, wait, who is this? He said, you will be very Dave. Loved there.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
That's an understatement.
Wow. Praise God.
That was an understatement.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic.
And yeah, it's funny. I mean, I didn't go through the whole, like, trying a bunch of churches thing. I went to Grace.
I know, because when I first saw you, I was kind of expecting not to see you back. Because you came one Sunday, and I thought you were kind of going to bounce around a little bit and try out different churches.
I thought I was,
and then you just come coming back every Sunday. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, part of that is motherly wisdom. I called my mom, and you know, my mom's not a Christian. And I called my mom, and I said, yeah, I just went to this church, but, you know, like, I felt a little weird. I mean, you're meeting new people and there's all this stuff going on. And I was like, I don't really know. And she said, well, you have to try it three times. She was like, you can't just go there once. I mean, you know, like, what if something was off or something, you know, like, you gotta get like a bigger sample size. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I went back three times and then I went 30 times. So.
Well, you'd already been baptized, and this summer it was this summer that you officially joined, even knowing that you wouldn't be here that long, but knowing that you needed accountability and support, and it was partly, you know, your opportunity to profess your faith publicly as a new believer in the context of a local church, which is important. And I think I told you at the outset, you know, go ahead and join, and then, you know, Lord willing, God would move you on. And the more we've gotten to know you, we're like, well, we just keep praying that God wouldn't move you. Yeah. But we knew there was a good chance that you'd move on and say, well, you know, enjoy it. And I do want to say this. Like, I really want to commend just the approach I joked on Sunday at church that, you know, many people in our church have the gift of hospitality, and Luke does a great job of receiving that. And I mean, I didn't mean that in any negative way. Like, I, you know, some people are too prideful, right, like to even accept an invitation to, or it takes a long time for them to feel comfortable accepting an invitation, but you've done a great job just availing yourself of opportunities, asking good questions, engaging with people. Literally, I think John can testify, maybe you can observe something else, but Luke has done an exceptional job of really relating to people at every age and stage of our church. Like, in terms of, like, just the members and the attenders at our church. Like, there are people that you can
point to. There is no age group where Luke is not has not infiltrated. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. It's been fantastic to see you be inquisitive and teachable and learn. And I don't know, what have been some of your experiences?
Yeah.
At our church.
Yeah, I mean, it's been wonderful. And I'll just say on your first point there that, you know, it's easy to accept hospitality from somebody who is so humble and sincere. So that needs to happen for the hospitality to be accepted. I just want to put that out there. and thank you for the compliment. Grace has been awesome. Like you said, I mean, not only have I, well, I've been able to talk to people from all age groups, you know, I mean, I get along with the kids and I get along with the older folks and it's been an amazing, growth of my community. I don't know what it would have been like if I had been here without Grace.
Hmm.
And I mean, really, if I had not come to faith and come out here, and it's like, I mean, it's like, it's not rural, but there's like not a ton going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like what I'm saying is there's, and what I'm saying, and I love it, is that there's nothing really worldly down here that would have kept me occupied,
mm-hmm.
you know? Right. And, so I am very grateful that God led me into the path of grace,
You got plugged in with, I mean, there's been, I went over the Friends Wars, you were there, you were at youth group. I feel like everywhere
he's at a community group with several families.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. So you're all plugged in, and I feel like everywhere I go, I like just run into Luke Springer. It's like, oh, good.
Yeah, driving sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. You texted me when I was driving.
Yeah.
Go shopping. I'm like, oh, I guarantee Luke's going to be here today. But yeah, it's been a joy getting to know you.
Yeah, it's been. Yeah, I can say it's been easy. You know, you've been an easy person to love, and
thanks, Troy.
Yeah, that's been a blessing to my personal family. I know I speak on behalf of a number of families in our church that, you know, we would love to see, you know, more people grow up and experience what you have, and you've really invested a lot of time in God's Word and in God's community and God's means of grace, the standard means of grace, by prioritizing fellowship, you know, the sacraments, the preaching of the word, prayer, you know, you've availed yourself. You've invested in that. And, what other questions do you have, John?
Yeah. Why don't you, I mean, we're going to get wrapping up here in a second, but why don't you tell us a little bit about like how we can pray for you and what you're up to next?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, well, I'll start with what I'm up to next and that'll lead into how you can pray for
sure.
me. So I started a business, doing contract wilderness trail clearing for the Forest Service. So for starting in maybe May or June next year, I'm going to be working on a contract that I was awarded by the Forest Service in the middle of nowhere, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be out there with one employee who is to be named later.
Is his name Troy Albee?
Oh, no.
He could be.
I can't move. Yeah. But you're looking.
It could be
Josiah praying.
Albee or Zach Albee.
That's right. It could be an Albee.
Maybe David in a few years.
Could be somebody.
It won't be a Buckley, I can assure you that.
So I'll be out there living out of my truck for a few months.
Wow.
Cutting trees on trails in Oregon. And that's a whole nother story of God's providence in making that idea come to fruition. I was praying about it. I was like, I had the idea, and I said, Lord, like, if you don't want me to do this, just slam the door shut. Mm. That's fine. I'll go do something else. It doesn't matter to
me. And you'd already had a summer experience as a wilderness ranger, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A park ranger or something. Yeah,
a wilderness ranger, for the Forest Service in Colorado. And I said, Lord, you know, if this is something you want me to do, just blow the door open. And he blew the door open. Mm. I mean, like, I applied for this contract, didn't think I was going to get it. They gave it to me. I wasn't sure if I was going to take it. I prayed about it. I took it, you know, and everything has just sort of fallen into place with that. So, it looks like it's going to be a good time. So, but how you can pray for me is, just pray that I get connected with the church there, with a church of believing Christians who hearts are after Christ.
Yeah.
Because I need to be around that. And,
we all do.
You know, I've already, I'm starting to think that I'm going to know at least, well, I'm not going to know, but I'll know in part what it was like in the 40 days in the wilderness, because I will be in the wilderness. Like, it's
for 40 days.
It's going to be legit. So, you can pray that I'll find a church and pray that I'll get connected with a body of believers and that I bear fruit in keeping with repentance.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, well put. Well put.
Praise God, yeah. I don't know. Have you guys got anything else to add here? You got anything, Troy or Luke, that you can think of?
I just thank you both for having me on the podcast. I'm happy to be here and to, you know, hopefully this builds up.
Well, we are very grateful, Luke, to not only for this conversation, but just in your investment in the life of our church. And I know you're taking off this week to head back to the West Coast, and we're especially praying for that long journey. So we will be staying in touch, and we look forward to some type of reunion. Lord willing, you'll come back this way to the East Coast. So, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in to this episode of Grace Unfolding.
Yeah, if you guys got anything else that you want us to talk about, we always welcome your comments and emails and feedback. So we have some other guests in mind as far as testimonies coming up. But if there's any topics you guys want to cover, just let us know. But other than that, this has been episode 15 with Luke Springer. And thanks for listening.